hello. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs, business owners, and innovators that will inspire you to start something, to keep going in life, and potentially start a huge startup that one day could impact the world. I have been in the content creation for the past 10 years or so, ever since graduating college. I started my blog actually in college and always been involved with content. I studied journalism back in college, and you know, back then you always thought, well, like to make money and writing articles is to work in a newspaper or in a big media conglomerate. But Google AdSense and Google itself has provided opportunities to monetize in your content. And of course, there's other companies as well, but like the most well-known one is Google AdSense. Today's guest is an expert when it comes to content creation, Google SEO, and content creation, Ron Stefanski. He's an internet entrepreneur, consultant, and college professor that lives in Chicago. Ron, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Santiago, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate you having me here, and hoping I can help your audience learn a few new things.
Ron, I first found you at another podcast I listened to a couple months ago, and I loved your content, love your energy. Can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So again, Ron Stefanski, website, onehourprofessor.com. That's where kind of my home base is. But generally speaking, my background a little bit. I started out, actually, I did sales for about 7 years. Absolutely hated it. I got laid off in 2000, well, voluntarily laid off. I actually left a job in 2008 because they were giving me a very small severance. I was like, oh, sweet, I'll just get another job. So in 2008, the last recession, I left a job. I was actually unemployed for about, trying to think, it was probably 8 to 10 months. And I got depressed and everything because I'm just one of those people that likes to work. And I was having a hard time because, you know, it was a really hard time with the housing crisis to get a job then. And I actually, my first website ever was unemploymentunderground.com, which is now completely gone. So it doesn't even exist. So don't go look it up or anything, anyone. But yeah, so it doesn't exist anymore. But that was my first website ever. And I actually built it and I was like, oh, cool. I got to start getting traffic to this, right? So I like the idea of getting traffic to it. Started to do a little bit of that, started to learn a little bit about SEO. And again, this was in 2008. So this was, you know, what, 12 years ago that I started. Things didn't work out with that website, completely failed miserably, kind of put it off. And then, you know, spent my the other half of my career, about 7 years in corporate marketing. Also got some gigs. I had my master's degree, so I was able to get a few different jobs as an adjunct professor at a few different colleges. Started One-Hour Professor, worked on a portfolio of websites. Really didn't focus on One-Hour Professor at all until this year, pretty much. And have kind of just grown from there. But yeah, I mean, in terms of what I do now and most of my time, I have a portfolio of websites. I believe it's, I legitimately lose count. It's either 8 or 9 different websites. I actually just sold one, but I have a portfolio of 8 or 9 different websites, hundreds of thousands of visitors every single month between all of them. I don't know exactly how much in each, but I'd say I probably drive around 500,000 visitors every month to my websites. And yeah, for the most part, focus. A lot of people know me from the Google AdSense stuff and display ads. That's where I have a big focus. But I also do affiliate marketing and I'm do some course sales and all that stuff. So trying to get, you know, the revenue diversified and get more well-rounded, but that's a little bit about me and my background.
Many users always ask, how can you make money on the internet, on the web? Obviously a lot of stuff is free. Some people start e-commerce stores, but how did you get started with Google AdSense? How did you first hear of it? And when did you start believing, hey, this could actually happen?
Yeah, that's actually kind of a cool story. So, okay. So I'm trying to think of the year. I don't remember exactly. It was like 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember the exact date, but basically, I was working on a website and we talked about this before the call. I didn't usually disclose the websites just because I've had copycats and things. So I'd love to, but I can't do that for you listeners out there, unfortunately. But I had a website. I was building it out to help a group of people with a specific problem, working to do that. And I did that. I was doing it part-time and Google AdSense started to make, I think it was like 10 or 20 bucks a day. Not a ton, right? But you know, when you do the math, you know, you're looking at around 500, 1,000 bucks a month. And I was like, okay, there's something to this, right? Like it was a small amount and this was still, it was my part-time gig. while I was working a full-time job. So I ended up leaving that full-time job when I started to see that momentum. And this is where I took my jumping off point in risk. I gave myself 1 year. I had, you know, a savings account and all that. And I was like, okay, I got 1 year. I remember Santiago, like month, like 10, I was super like upset because I basically had failed. Website wasn't doing what I needed. I was making some money, not enough money. And I was like super, super upset about it. And having a really hard time with it. And then one day, by the glory of God, the one website that I was working on, there was actually a Facebook group. I found a Facebook group. I talked to the moderators. I said, hey, I've made this resource for your audience. Is it okay if I share it? I did. And then they allowed me to. And after that, the website actually went viral on Facebook, which was kind of crazy. I've never, ever experienced anything like this before. It went viral. And as it was, I remember this was Valentine's Day. My wife is the one, my current wife at the time, she was my girlfriend. She was with me and she knew that I was like a workaholic. And I turned to her, I was like, the website's going viral. Like I have to redesign the page. There was a specific page that was going viral. So I redesigned it. And then, you know, first day I made like, I don't know, like $200 or $300 on the page, which was crazy, right? Cause I was like, oh my God, you know, extrapolating that out, that's almost 10,000 a month. And then like the next day it was like 500. And then I hit like $1,000 in a day, mostly from that one page because it went viral on Facebook. So I was like, wow, you know, there's something to this. And then any website, anyone that's had any experience with it, websites, they'll go viral for a little bit and then it slows down, started to slow down. And I thought, okay, well, what can I do to try to keep this up? And I started to do some link building. So, but that was really when I discovered that AdSense was like a viable, you know, thing, because most people it's like, oh, it makes 10, 20, 30 cents a click, whatever. That's nothing. Well, it's not. But when you have a lot of people clicking that, I mean, the house behind me, I paid for the house, you know? So, like, so that's the way that it can be if it goes really well.
Now, obviously Google AdSense recommends, obviously like the top three things is like articles or tools out there that will get traffic. But for the blog articles, can you tell the audience what are the key components to make a good article and to be captured by Google and to get traffic to your website?
Yeah. So generally speaking, so this goes deeper into like, you know, search engine optimization and keyword research. But generally speaking, me, I'm a really big fan of creating content that answers the user queries. So I'll just use a generic example. Let's say that you have a website about gyms, you know, like gym owners or something like your gym specifically. Let's talk about gyms and exercise. Let's just say fitness. Let's make it more broad, fitness. So what I would do if you had a fitness blog is I would do something along the lines of just questions that people are going to have in fitness, right? So I always like think of like who, what, when, where, why, how. So like a good example right now would be what are exercise or weightless exercises, you know, like creating content around finding what those keywords are that people are actually searching in Google. And this is where keyword tools come in, finding what those keywords are. And then after you figure out what those keywords are, writing content, answering those questions. I think that's a really good way to start out when you're in the beginning, because just answering questions, I mean, if you have some sort of expertise, you can do that. And those are always the, everyone talks about like the long tail keywords, right? The long tail keyword phrases. Those are always long tails. You know, they'll be like 4, 5, 6 words in a phrase. So it's just the idea of creating content around that. And, you know, in the beginning, I mean, realistically, and people don't like to hear this, but realistically, your first like 6 months of your blog or website, it's pretty thankless. You're not going to get a ton of, you know, momentum going, there's not going to be a bunch of growth just because Google really slows down websites and blogs in the beginning. So really I just, yeah, when I start a website or a blog now, I don't really write the content. I hire it out. And I have our team of writers to help me. But generally what I'll do is I will answer those questions, those long tail things. And you kind of just, you know, you look at 20, 30, 40 of those different articles, you create them. And over time, you'll just start getting traffic from Google.
Those are great tidbits. I'm a techie person and I troubleshoot a lot of stuff with clients. And it's interesting because like the past 3 months, I've been writing articles because of that troubleshooting question. For example, I had one client that didn't know how to connect a Canon EOS camera to a Windows device. Google did. There was not many articles on it.
Yep.
But then I figured it out. And I wrote the article, and now it's ranked in like the top 10 via my website. So yeah. I've been doing what you've been doing, Just type out the article. If you can't find it on Google, you figure it out, write an article.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. That's, I mean, I feel like people overthink it pretty often, and you have a leg up there, because if you're working with people, or you're in a, let's say you're in an industry, because people are, you know, when they're starting out, they're like, I don't know what to write about. I don't know what to do. If you're in an industry and you know, you have some expertise that most people don't, if you're in sales or marketing of any sort, you know, a lot of the questions already, right? Like those questions come by your desk every single day, or even if you're in a trade, you know, there's a lot of questions that people have. So just think what those are, write them down. And then, like I said, what I'll do is I'll go onto Google. I'll search that particular thing that I'm trying to write about. I'll look at what's out there, and not that I'm copying, you should never copy, but I'm just trying to find out what's out there and what Google likes. And then I look at it. And then if I'm looking at it, I'm like, I could do better than this. Then you just create something better. And usually when it comes to writing, I always say like create an outline, and not like a formal, like difficult to put together outline. Like take like 3 minutes or 5 minutes and just write like, okay, here's the first topic that I'm going to cover, the second one, the third, and maybe the fourth. And then just, you know, just write. I just put the article together. But yeah, that's a perfect example. You know, for you, you know, it was like a how-to, and it sounds like it worked, but that's a really good example of exactly how this works. And people just overthink it. Just don't overthink it. Just start.
How much weight would you put in with backlinking?
I am not the most popular guy with this, but I put a lot of weight into it. So I think it's really interesting, because you'll listen to, you know, Income School is one of them. I can't think of one offhand, but I feel like a lot of people talk about link building and they're kind of dismissive to it. And they're like, oh, you don't really need to do it. And like, yeah, you probably don't need to do it, but I feel like by doing it, you know, it's like a fire, right? So if you have a fire and you've got your fire, and let's say that you put some gasoline on it, you get a few branches to go up and your fire is burning. But if you want to grow that fire and get it bigger, what do? You throw logs on it, right? And you add more things to it, dried leaves, that sort of stuff. So the idea is link building absolutely required to have success? No, I don't think so. There's plenty of websites out there that, you know, they just don't do link building and they succeed. But I would much rather keep my sanity and grow a business as I'm doing it. Because if you don't do link building, give it a year, maybe a year and a half before you really see much in Google. When you start doing link building, like I said, you're throwing logs on a fire. And I'm not saying you should overdo it, but I think that there's certain times, like inflection points in the journey of creating a website or a blog, to where you need to look at link building a little bit, and you need to say, okay, let me throw a few links towards this, you know, 5, 10, whatever. And then I'll just continue on writing. So usually what I do is I will create a website about probably like between months 4 to 6. I'll do a little bit of a link building campaign. That could be, I mean, there's a million different link building campaigns out there, but it could be guest posting, for example. It could be, I mean, there's just so many different link building tactics out there, so I won't even go into them. But let's just say that you did link build, or you did guest posting. So just go out, do 4, 5 guest posts, or, you know, even be featured on a podcast, you know, that sort of thing. Get 4 or 5 links, and then just go back to writing. And I usually switch in between. So I'll have like a writing campaign, and then I'll switch over to a link building campaign, and a writing campaign, and I switch over to link building. And I've done that, and that usually has gone pretty well. I will say too, I've been working to do more HARO, help a reporter out. So that for those that don't know, this is basically a source. Journalists are always looking for quotes from people, experts. So if you are an expert in your particular field, you sign up for it, it's free. And you'll get 3 emails a day. And you basically say, hey, I'm an expert in this particular field. Here's my quote. And you put it out there on Help a Reporter Out and respond to the journalist. And sometimes you get chosen for it. So those are the other things. But yeah, like I think that link building is a necessary evil. And I actually like it quite a bit, because I know most people hate it and they don't want to do it. And they're kind of lazy about it. And that's a big competitive advantage for me. So.
Which topics would you avoid if a person had to start today that is so convoluted or so competitive? I know you mentioned about tech and fitness, but which topics would you avoid, and which topics that are kind of new, trendy, that you would start today? Hey, I think this topic is kind of new, not too competitive, and I can make, you know, some money on it.
Some interesting questions. So, so the ones that I would avoid, I just have to say, so finance, I think, is a terrible area to go into. Not because the money's there. That's why finance is so difficult to go into. But the problem with finance, if you create a blog or a website into there, is that if you're trying to do link building, you better have a budget, because financial people, generally speaking, it doesn't even matter if you have the greatest content out there. If you try to do any link building, they're gonna be like, yeah, great, pay me. You know, like, they're always asking for payment there. I stray very far away from any type of medical advice, just because I don't think it's a smart, I mean, if you're a doctor, that's one thing, I'm not. So for me, that liability is pretty scary. I don't want to tell someone one thing or get into holistic cures, and then all of a sudden someone be like, this is BS, and try to sue me. So I usually stay away from that. But they call it like the YMYL, your money, your life, right? Like, that's the whole thing that Google, I don't remember when they rolled out with this. I think it was like a couple of years ago. But the idea was, if you're going to create content that has a really significant impact on a person's life, you have to be a very reputable person in that area. So if you have the credentials professionally, right, and you are really, you know, you're a certified financial planner and this, that, and the other, then sure, maybe you can go into finance and everything. But me personally, I stay away from those. And like I said, medical stuff, I'll stay very far away from. In terms of websites or things that I think are growing or are seeded to do really well, I mean, you have to think, especially right now, I feel like our economy, our society in general, is going through a very fundamental change in regards to the ways that we work and the things that we're doing because of this pandemic. And it's funny too, because I was talking to my wife about this, like, we are filthy. Like, I was realizing that with this pandemic, like, man, I don't wash my hands nearly enough, you know, because I think people are starting to realize that, like, it's pretty dirty the way that we are. So I think any business right now that is that could be positively impacted by this, at this point in time anyway, in this climate, is going to be growing significantly. You know, you're talking about work from home stuff, which is actually right up my alley, which is great. But anything really, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint specific examples, but I'm just trying to think, you know, like, if you're thinking about this stuff and you're looking to jump in now, you may want to consider like home fitness. You know, that's another one. A lot of gyms are closed, you know, or like cooking, that's another one. A lot of people aren't going to restaurants, you know, like, and I know that this isn't forever. And I do think eventually things are going to, I don't know if they'll go back to the way they were, or they'll be similar or in a variation. I'm not sure. But just thinking about the current climate, if you're starting right now, look at the things that, you know, look at what people are doing. Home improvements, another example. Look at the things that people are doing and think, okay, can I make a website about that? But generally speaking, I mean, the other thing is, I'll just say, if you have a really big passion in a particular thing and it doesn't exactly fit that narrative of, hey, this is exactly what everyone's doing, just do it anyway. Like, I think, especially for beginners, the biggest thing is just start. Like, I can't tell you how frustrating it is for me, because I'll speak to people like, I want to do this, blah, 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 and then I'm like, okay, I check in a month later and it's just ghost town. You know, it's like, why didn't you start it? You'd already be a month into it. So yeah, I would say try to focus on things that are positively impacted by the current situation. I think that things are going to be altered in the future, and I think there'll be a lot more remote workers, like that sort of stuff. So focus on that in the beginning. And, you know, if you can, and if not, that's okay. Just do something that you're passionate about and you want to do.
You know, like, you were talking about how you have many websites. I actually started a coronavirus news website back in March when the thing started to happen, but I didn't really put too much time to it. I wish I did. But yeah, any trendy topics out there, of course, preferably whatever you're passionate about. And of course, there's some topics that are a little bit more stuffy, you know, like finance, like you're just saying, or medical or health and fitness, that could be really stuffy. But good topic about home fitness, because I mean, my gym is open, but I'm not planning to go there anytime soon.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm also education, you know, I think about education now. You know, home, you know, people have education, homeschooling and that. I don't have that expertise, but I can tell you right now, if I had a kid, I don't have kids yet. If I had a kid right now, no chance would I send them to school with what's going on. I would have to do homeschooling. I mean, people are being forced into this. And like I said, I don't think this is forever, but I also don't think that this is just something that's going to happen and then go away immediately. I think that this is going to fundamentally change the way that people, remote work happens, remote schooling happens, remote cooking, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities out there. So, you know, it's a lot of people are looking at this as doom and gloom, and a lot of people got laid off from their jobs. And that is a tough situation, but at the same time, you know, embrace it, embrace the suck, if you will, and find a way to try to do something to make it work in your favor, because there's a lot of different ideas out there and a lot of different things right now that could be started. And they always talk about this in the last recession, you know, I don't remember what ones were created. It might've been like, don't quote me on this, but like Instagram and like a few of these different platforms.
Dropbox.
Dropbox, $1 billion companies, right? When were they created? During a recession. So I'm not saying everybody on here is going to get to that point, but hey, if you can get one fraction of a billion, you're in a pretty good shape. So, you know.
I totally agree. Like, I'm really excited to know in a couple months, maybe a few years, what, like, yes, that company was started back during the whole pandemic. Really excited, really waiting to see what happens. Tell us a few tools that you use to make your content good.
So I use quite a few different tools. If you go onto the 1 Hour Professor website, I got the resources area where I talk about some of them. But recommend tools for me. So first off, hosting, I like SiteGround. That is the host that I use personally. It's interesting because a lot of people will be like, well, I heard about Bluehost or heard about these other ones. I'm not a big fan of those. I haven't had the greatest experience. I personally like SiteGround. They have not only, when I started out and I was kind of smaller, right? And I had like the beginner plan, but I've scaled very, very large on SiteGround, which is why I like it. Because if you're able to scale, then it's like I've stuck with them for a long time. So that's my hosting. In terms of tools, I'm a really big fan of Thrive Themes, is a platform that I talk about on my website and everything. It's really nice because they have really like, and I don't remember how much it is a year. It's like, I don't know, $250 a year or something like that. But they have this annual membership to where you get access to all their tools. And their tools are pretty awesome. They have the Thrive Theme Builder that they recently released. And 1 Hour Professor, the website that I have, is built on that theme builder. And it's pretty snazzy. You can do some pretty cool things in there. They just released that. They also have Thrive Architect, which, especially for beginners, this is how I found them. I had a big problem. I wanted to make a page look cool, right? Like I wanted to make it like do these cool things and put all these cool graphs and stuff, but I didn't really know how to do it. So Thrive Architect is cool because it's kind of a point and click system to where you can just add those elements in. Generally speaking, you don't want to do that on every page of your website. Like I'll use it on like my home page and like maybe my about page, a few different pages, but like all your blog posts, you want them to load quick. So when you're doing those, you may want to try to get away from the tools as much as you can just to increase the page load speeds. That's probably one of the biggest ones that I use and I'm a big fan of. Other ones that I use for the most part, I mean, I use ActiveCampaign as an email provider. I do a lot on email lists and things. So I use that because it has a lot of different triggers and things. For beginners, AWeber, stuff like that is fine. Trying to think. For blogging, I don't do as much of this as I used to, but fun fact, I was about halfway through my doctoral degree before I stopped because I was like, I just want to work for myself anyway. So one of the tools that I found in that is it's called Dragon, naturally speaking. I know that they have like Cortana and all these others, but a tool, you know, we talked about writing blogs earlier, like you can write up to like 150 words per minute, write, you know, in quotes for those that are listening to the podcast. You're not really writing, you're just talking through the actual blog post. So like coming out with an outline and then saying, okay, this is what I'm going to cover and then talking through it, right? Like that's what I do on my YouTube channel now, now that I'm established, but using a tool like that to help you quote unquote write quicker, it was a game changer. I found that out in my doctoral program and it was like, I was writing these 20 page papers every week in addition to everything else. And it was just like, how can I save time with this? So I think that's a big one. I'd say that's probably, you know, for me, really that the Thrive Themes that I talked about, they cover a lot of different tools that you need within it. So that's why I can say I use Thrive Themes because they have stuff for, you know, like building pages and collecting emails. They have all these different tools within that. So I'm a big fan of them. So.
Yeah. So much good information from you, Ron. I mean, I was really fond of your material, your content, these past couple of months, I think since February, to be honest. And, you know, just running websites, I run like a couple of content websites, but I need to work on like the whole monetization and just learning so much, taking notes. And this stuff is so like, it's like anyone can do it because like the startup costs are so low, you know, mm-hmm. to start a website. It's not, you're not going to need to buy a building. You need to buy, you know, you're not going to spend like $1,000. You could spend like less than $100. But yeah. A lot of good stuff out there. What is the best way to reach you to know more about you?
Yeah. So before we jump off, I just want to talk to that point. You just mentioned something that's really important to me. Yeah. So when I was, working full time, other people, I always had the entrepreneurial itch. I think some people do. And they were like, I really want to be successful with stuff. And they just don't know exactly how to do it. And that was kind of the issue that I had. So, you look at like franchising. Oh, you want to start a franchise? Okay. Do you have, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000? No, I don't have that. So then it's like, you're looking at all these different business models and you're thinking, okay, do I want to go do, landscaping? Not that there's anything wrong with landscaping, but I did that today. That is backbreaking work. That's tough stuff. So you're trying to find something that you can do while still working a full-time job. And I think websites are, I think they're the answer to that. I really, really do, because I did it myself. And I just feel like for the low startup costs, which you mentioned, which is really important, but not only that, the fact that you can, I mean, my wife and I, we just talked about this before the call. We went to Puerto Rico. We just got back from a trip in Puerto Rico. All I had to have, I'm in the middle of friggin' Puerto Rico, in the middle of like this Yunky forest. They have a place. We're there and we're in this little Airbnb thing, and I was able to do my work. And not that I was, spending 8 hours in a day, but hey, I had to check a few emails, had to do a few things. I was able to work. So being able to work remotely, and then like when it comes to making money with websites, I think that's a big thing too, because there's so many different ways to do it, right? Like I use Google AdSense, but I just wrote a guide on my website. I wrote one about the best video editing software tools for YouTube, right? So that's a great example of a tool or something that I can create. And then it's not making money now, but eventually I could do affiliate marketing to that, right? And I could start having those tools and maybe get affiliate marketing. I also have another one on like best online course platforms. That's another example of one that I create these guides, and there's affiliate marketing there too. So there's just so many different ways to make money with websites too. So it's such a low startup cost. It takes time. It's a hell of a grind. And I'm sure you're familiar with that too. It's really difficult in the beginning, but once you figure it out, you can make a very, very good living. And it could be affiliate marketing, display ads. You can have a course yourself, informational products, start a community. There's so many different things that you can do. So I just had to go off on that riff because I think people need to hear that.
No,
I'm all for it. I think people really need to hear that and understand that this is it. The internet's not going away. You go to sleep, your website's still running. It's open 24 hours a day. It's not going away. And
absolutely,
it's tough in the beginning. I promise it's really tough in the beginning, but if you stick to it, it'll go well. But anyway, yeah. So sorry, I had to go on that, but,
No, go for it.
Yeah. People looking to find me. So obviously, I mean, just 1hourprofessor.com all spelled out, is a great way to find me. You can find me there, or just if you're going on to, YouTube, you can search again the same name and you'll be able to find my channel there as well.
Ron Stefanski from 1 Hour Professor, give us some closing words before we go home.
my closing words for anybody that is thinking about this, or they're like, well, I should, but just forget about the but. Get rid of like that whole like doubt in your mind. Just do it, because the reality is, and this is, I've done it too, you're going to start, you're going to fail. You're going to fail at something. That's okay. That's fine. I think people are really, really scared of failure, and I don't understand why. Because when you fail, you're really just learning. It's just a lesson. I mean, it really is. That's all failure is. So just start. Like, begin tomorrow. Begin right after you hear this podcast. Just say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to dive into it, and I'm going to start. You're going to struggle in that beginning, but make yourself like, I'm a big fan of doing what they call productivity goals. So I never focus on, especially when I start a website, I don't focus on revenue. I don't focus on traffic. I don't focus on most of the traditional business metrics. What I focus on is the things that I can control, right? So if you're starting, focus on the thing that you can control. Make it so that every day, for 1 hour a day, for a whole month, you are focused on creating your website. If you do that, you'll get to the end of the month. You'll actually be really far ahead to where you thought you could be. And you'll be really, really like psyched up and proud, because you'll actually start something and get it going. And then, the sky's the limit, but just be ready to fail. You'll have your setbacks. Just don't give up. Just slowly have those problems and then keep moving forward.
So much value in this podcast. I could ask 100 more questions, but we're out of time. Ron, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thanks for having me.